Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine. As together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. I have a fantastic topic for you today, and it's one that has been much talked about, particularly in the last few years in a lot of the circles that I collaborate with, and that is talking about human senses. So S-E-N-S-E-S, so senses, because there's actually more than the five physical senses which are actually taught in mainstream schools. I mean, we know that we teach, you know, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, but there's so much more to the senses than beats the eye, really. And it's something that's not necessarily explicitly taught in all learning environments or in all households. I am aware that there are a lot of different countries and learning environments that do enhance different senses. So I know there's some amazing places that are happening in India at the moment, and in China that are really, really leading the way in this aspect. And not even leading the way, it's ancient knowledge. It's just that remembrance of tapping into this, particularly when it comes to learning, because just relying on the five senses is not enough, particularly in today's world. I mean, we are multidimensional beings, and the metaphysical really does have a place when it comes to navigating our life and creating our own reality as creator beings and not consumers. So, I mean, we traditionally teach children that there's only five senses, and yet in many cultures, ancient cultures and modern cultures, humans, you know, human beings, earth beings, we have always worked with more far subtle ways of perceiving. And that's the thing, it's very subtle. And some people really dismiss it because it's not something that they can tangibly touch. And I really feel that we're missing out if we're not allowing and enhancing and empowering, particularly children, and as an adult, remembering and sitting still and tapping in and nurturing these senses, because they're quite valuable. And I really feel like this is going to be something that's quite huge in the future, and going to be something that we're going to come back to. In general, from what I can gather, there's lots of different senses, but there's probably around 15 senses that I would like to talk to today, and that are in the article that I've written today. So for those of you who have not listened to my show before, welcome. Each week I create an article or like a blog, and often create resources that you can use that align to the topic of the week. And these are all published on bbsradio.com, and you can find all the archived resources on bbsradio.com/ All Learning Reimagined. And it's months and months worth of articles. There's just so many from so many different topics that we do from week to week. And sometimes there's I do part two or part three because the topic is so rich, I can't fit it into a half an hour session. And thank you so much to all of those who reach out and give feedback from many different countries. I get feedback from all over, lots of people saying how much they enjoy them. They're finding it really useful. They're passing it on to other educators or other parents who are homeschooling, and they're adapting them and they're adopting them. I mean, all of it's free. I really don't care about money. I just want to get the information out there so people can reflect on what am I currently doing, and is this just because we've always done it this way, is this the way it needs to be? Is there something that does lend itself to being reimagined? And is there something we can tweak or adapt as we grow and change and evolve, particularly as a species? There's just so much going on in the world. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. And recognizing, particularly these 15 senses, really shifts learning away from like the passive information intake, which really was the age of Pisces, you know, passively taking on information and seeking knowledge outside of yourselves towards more deep awareness. So age of Aquarius is really that, not only having the knowledge, but living it and experiencing it. So talking more from direct experience, not coming from, oh, an expert told me or an expert showed me. So it's actually taking the information and applying it in some practical way and living it and experiencing it. This is my perspective anyway on how I'm reading the play. And it's really more towards that deep awareness and embodiment, intuition, creativity, and that inner knowing. So not looking for that stimulation and that, I guess the senses outside of yourself, it's actually really tapping into your own body, your own sensations, your own way of working, because all of us are different. All of us have a different energetic signature and preferences for learning and a way of working. And all of us are at completely different stages in our journey, I guess, and skill sets. So, in my opinion, I feel like this is really essential for sovereignty-based, practical, grounded learning, because education starts with yourself. You have to start with you. You're the one that has to live with yourself for the rest of your life and really navigate the world and the reality, wherever it is, whatever it is you're doing, and being able to tap into your own senses and what it means for you can really help you feel grounded and centered and calm, regardless of what's going on around you with your decision making, and choices, I guess. So, I guess when what I'm trying to say is when learners know that they can perceive beyond the physical, because there's so much more around us that's not physically right in front of our face, then you can really learn to trust yourself, you know, trust your own inner signals and, of course, the living, breathing, natural world around us. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. Now, I know that there are some things like you can say you have a sense of balance or you have a sense of humor. I'm not actually talking about those senses today. I'm not going to mention them, although they are certainly worthy of mentioning because a sense of balance is really important. And a sense of humor, as far as I'm concerned, should be, you know, is gold. It should be front and center. Everyone should have a sense of humor. Delete the word should, but could or embody or express or enjoy their own sense of humor. Because if we don't have joy, then, you know, what's the point, right? We don't want to trudge through life. We want to enjoy it. So enjoy it, as in inner joy. So sense of humor is actually really important. So physical senses, vision, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. We already know so much about that. Although in the article that I've written this week, I've definitely got a couple of small activities that can help in that space if you are working with children. But I want to expand on those senses today. I'm not saying anything new. It's just bringing up that awareness and reflecting on, do you in your learning environment, whether it's yourself, your teenager, your grandchild, your class, if you're actually working in a classroom, do you actually refer to or enhance or allow children, students, adults, the opportunity to hone in their toolkit these other senses. So, the first ones I'd really like to expand on really are the inner senses. And they're more the inner senses of the mind. And the mind and the heart space are very different. But the mind is a really good tool. It's a fantastic tool if it doesn't drive everything in your life. If you get stuck in the overthinking part, with the mind, you can be really programmed quite easily. Programming is everywhere, but the mind is still a useful tool. So it's essential for creativity. It's essential for self-governance, that self-responsibility, holding yourself to account, that self-discipline. Your focus, and of course, making meaning is also really important with the mental senses. And they are things like imagination. Nothing new there. But there's a lot of activities you can do, something as simple as like an imaginative story seed. So you can give the student, the person, the child an object, possibly from nature, like a leaf or a feather or possibly a stone, maybe. And you can ask them, if this object could speak, what story would it tell? And allow them to just imagineer it. Just use their imagination. There are so many things you can use with imagination. It's a fantastic tool, and sometimes we need that balance. It's a balance of masculine and feminine energy, but it's also that balance of the logical thinking part of the world that we have versus imagination and creativity. So it's something that we really want because it creates divergent thinking, and it's really a way of making meaning intuitively. So it's something definitely to enhance. Memory is another one. You can do a memory path walk where, learners can walk a short path, and then when they need to go back and reconstruct it with drawing or storytelling to see if they can actually remember and they how aware they were being in the present and observing and absorbing and embodying the environment and the ecosystem that they're in. It's a really beautiful activity to do, a memory path walk. You can do it on the beach, in the forest. You can do it anywhere, basically. And you can add sensory elements to anchor that memory as well. What do they hear? What do they feel? What do they smell? Those sorts of things. And that memory strength thing is usually using that multi-sensory encoding. Intuition is another mental sense. Now, I know we often say that that's our gut feeling, but it is also done mentally as well. It's in both places, and it's really like that. The activity that I've created is called a body compass, and it's where we present you with two really harmless choices, two paths, two objects, two seats, two timelines, what choice you're going to make. And then the learners actually pause and breathe, or ground, preferably barefoot if they could. And notice which one of their body does it subtly lean towards or relax into with their intuition. It's such a beautiful, very simple, subtle activity, but it is very important for everybody to be able to listen to their own body's communication. Our body is constantly communicating with us, particularly with our health. There's always warning signs. It's talking to us, it's telling us a story. If we stay still enough and are in tune enough to listen, but feeling into that intuition, I mean, we know we can, if we're walking in an environment and our little hackles go up and we think, oh, it doesn't feel safe here, I think I need to get out of here, then that's listening to that intuition. That's sort of one side of it. But it's just that tapping into, I've got some big life choices to make. Which one do I feel like I need to move into? Not think, feel. So yes, it's mental, but the intuition sort of focuses on more of the body, I guess, not just mental. Reasoning is another one, the why. We've probably all heard of the five whys. Take a question and then you ask why five different times, kindly and using curiosity, I guess. But it's really that deep inquiry and that logical extension and that critical thinking of why do we do this? And why? And then what about that why? And you just keep unpacking the whys. It's a fantastic activity to do with anything. And it's great if you're an adult and you need to make a big decision. If you're starting a new business or wanting a shift in your life, going back and unpacking the whys with that reasoning is a fantastic activity to do. And the last one for the mental senses that I have is willpower. Which really comes back to that duality, that push or that pull. So sometimes you're being pulled along and you're sort of in the flow, and other times you're trying to push. You're trying to push and use willpower to do something. And willpower almost never works long term because you're actually pushing into something. Sometimes it might, but in general, using willpower, like a micro commitment challenge, maybe. Could be good to recreate or reprogram a new habit. And learners can choose to use like one tiny action that they will complete in the next 5 minutes, particularly if they're a procrastinator or they get easily distracted. For example, it could be something like, I'm going to drink water, I'm going to tidy my pencil case, or I'm just going to tidy my room or my desk space, or I'm going to send a gratitude thought to someone who has helped me this week. It could be something very, very simple. Doesn't have to be huge, but willpower really grows from very small successes and not force. So I feel like that's a really important point to make. And then that leans me into, so that's 10 senses. And then we've got the last five. There are more, of course, but the last five that I really wanted to lean into today. And that's more of the psychic, intuitive, like the sixth sense that we often give a label to, a sixth sense. But a sixth sense is more spiritual and it's quite subtle. It's a really subtle sense. And these are actually natural human capacities. I know there's labels on them and a lot of them blend, and many men and women and children and offspring don't even know that they have them, unless it's brought into their awareness. They, might naturally do it or naturally have these gifts, and senses, I should say, but they're often noticed more easily in children, particularly young children, before the conditioning comes in and it really then dampens the senses. Little children reflect telepathy. There's many, many studies on this, particularly amongst twins, siblings, intuition, energetic perception. They can really feel energetically a lot of things around us, that inner knowing. And then, of course, how do we use this with approachable language that we can ensure, in our schools and in our communities, that's not going to, butt heads with the religious programming that we have, because there are a lot of religions that don't necessarily like the spiritual senses, and then there are others that pick them up and enhance them and embrace them. So it's being that, having that cultural sensitivity for whoever it is that you're talking to, and trying to use the language that is not imposing, not that imposition of beliefs, but just giving that awareness. So one of the first ones would be clairvoyance. We've all heard that before. It's been around for years and years, and it's probably a very common language, I guess, which of course is inner seeing. It's really perceiving images, visions, symbols, I guess. And the activity that I have in the article that I've written this week is things like cloud messages. You can get learners to lie on the grass and just observe the clouds. Yes, I know what type of clouds some of you are thinking about. I'm not going to talk about it. And you can ask, what sorts of shapes do you see and what might they represent? So they're once again using their imagination, but also they can sort of see the symbols or the images or the animals or the entities or the whatever it is they happen to use and see and connect with from looking at clouds. Water, watching a flame if it's a candle. Or if you're sitting around a campfire, for example, can also be useful. But it strengthens that symbolic perception, the inner imagery, and the pattern recognition. Recognizing patterns is really, really important in being able to read the big picture story and reading the play. So we have also clairaudience, which is more inner hearing. Some people hear voices or sounds or even music. Humming. I know I've traveled the world, and there have been places when I've been when I could swear that I could hear like some sort of music or harmony within, and I could never work out where it was. And now that I know what I know, I feel like I was actually tapping into song lines, organic, natural song lines, not ley lines, song lines, in those energetic spaces around the world. And I wish I'd known that then. That I know now, because I would see it and feel it and observe it very differently. But clairaudience is absolutely a real thing, and it's more heart listening. Well, that's my opinion anyway. And so what I would suggest to enhance this would be to ask learners to like place a hand on their heart and just breathe, because as we know, breath is so important, and notice any words or phrases or guidance that sort of quietly just arises and gently inside. So it's nothing like an outside stimulation. It's not necessarily, oh, I can hear birds behind me, I can hear a plane flying overhead, or the wind through the trees. It's that listening within, that heart listening, that inner hearing, is the clairaudience. And it takes a lot of practice for us oldies, but the young children just take to this really easily and really quickly. It's amazing, actually, how they just have this innately. So I just love it. I love, love, love it. Okay, where was I? Spiritual senses. I did clairvoyance. I did clairaudience. Another one is clairsentience, which is more energetic sensing and feeling. So, possibly emotions or vibrations or even physical sensations within the body. It's a really important one, in my opinion. A lot of people might do memory, muscle testing and those sorts of things, I guess you could use, but that energetic sensing and that feeling, you can tell when someone walks into a room and they are angry. You can feel it. You can feel the energy shift and change compared to somebody who walks in the room and they're just energetic and they're just like a ball of light and they're joy. You can feel that energy as well. So the activity that I have got in the article is called a hand energy ball. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie and it's still really useful. So it's where learners like rub their hands together and then they separate them slightly and then they can feel that subtle tingling or warmth between their hands because your hands have so much energy in them and so much light in them. And so many activities you could do with this. And then you can do it again and then you can gently move the hands further or closer and you can actually feel that energy and that pulse that's between your hands. And it really recognizes like subtle energy perception, I guess, and almost boundary awareness at the same time. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a really good one. We have claircognizance, which is your knowing, a lot of people would call it, your intuition or your gut knowing, trust your gut. I've heard a lot of people these days saying, oh, I'm getting a download. I actually don't like to personally use the word download because I'm not a computer, I'm not a clone, I'm a living being, and the information for me is not coming from outside of me and down into my head. I do understand that there's technology out there to beam thoughts in people's heads. It's all been patented. I totally get that. That's a whole nother conversation. But for this, the knowing is actually coming from within for me. So you can have a quick answer game. So you can ask, really simple, harmless questions like, which animal did I draw? And the learners can give the first answer that appears without thinking. So you ask them lots of quick draw questions and whatever it is that comes to them absolutely first. And then they just trust that and they speak it and they say it. And you will be surprised at how accurate they can actually be when they trust their knowing. It's a great one for long car trips to practice, and really strengthen that inner knowing at the same time. So, it strengthens, I guess it's like spontaneous knowing. It's probably another way of naming it. We have smells, like subtle inner smells. So that's like clair, what was that one? Clairaliens. I'm not sure. I don't use that word very often, but clairaliens is how I'd probably pronounce it. And that's, you can use memory sense. And I know that this is something that I'm very, very aware of because if I have children in my classroom that may have experienced trauma, then I'm extremely aware that sometimes a smell can trigger a trauma. So I use this one with caution, depending on who I'm with. But sometimes you can smell something that you haven't smelled in years and years and years, and it will take you straight back to that event or that experience that you had with the smells. So you can have memory senses is a activity that you could do with this. And you can invite sharing around that as well. So there also is another one, which is actually clairgustance, which is sensing taste without eating anything. And this is a fantastic activity to do where you close your eyes and you imagine I've given you something like a slice of lemon and then you put it in your mouth and can you taste it? And then you can actually, many people can actually physically taste it in their mouth even though they haven't eaten anything, but the memory is there and it's a very subtle sense that they can expand on as well. And so Claire, Clair, which is at the beginning of all of these words, is actually a prefix, which is French, and it means clear or bright. So it's really good to be able to look at the etymology of words and where they came from and what the meanings are, prefixes and suffixes, and consciously teaching them so that children can understand, teenagers, adults can understand, understand the meanings of the words and where they came from and what they're actually saying and speaking into existence is really important. So in the metaphysical context, extrasensory ability to re receive information beyond the physical five senses is really what the prefix clair enhances, I guess, because the five physical senses is not everything. There are so many other senses that we can build on, I guess. And so then that brings me to, well, why does this even matter for learning? Because, hey, Teresa, this is an education podcast, right? Well, yeah, it is. I feel that it expands sensory awareness and it really helps learners because it can help them regulate their own nervous system when they're in tune with their self or when they can feel, oh, I feel like I'm being triggered, something's coming up, and something doesn't feel right. They can actually use those senses to be able to self and regulate themselves, and navigate their world, basically. You can perceive your world more richly, not living life through default and distraction and walking around with your head down scrolling, the scroll of doom, basically, on a phone or a device. And trusting your intuition and your inner guidance, because as I mentioned before, education starts with yourself, and nothing is more important than that trust and that self-trust. It's so vital. And these senses are also a way that we access creativity, which I'm a huge fan of. Creativity, not consuming things, creating things is definitely our way forward, I feel. It improves your emotional intelligence, and you can read the subtle cues in others. So, empathy or social harmony, trying to enhance those skills, and actually enhancing those skills because, not all children go for this, and not all learners go for this. Some of them find it really socially awkward or really struggle in some ways, but that doesn't mean it's not something to still be able to allow them the opportunity to experience it in their own way because everyone engages differently. And the senses actually help us engage with learning in a more embodied way, which helps you become more sovereign, standing on your own two feet, rather than just trusting what the adult is telling you, or the expert is rolling out and handing to you. You're actually listening to yourself and using your senses to make meaning of the information or the skill, that in the best way that suits you. So for educators, it really reframes learners not as an empty vessel to fill information in. It's, we're multi-sensory, we're energetic, we're intuitive beings anyway, okay? And we're capable of far deeper learning than what our standard schooling currently acknowledges. And once again, that's my opinion, but I feel like it's really important. Now, I haven't got time to go into it now, but it's really great to have a look at a research project with children around animals and the animal senses, particularly dolphins and whales, dogs and cats, and get them to research the different senses that they have. I mean, whales and dolphins are amazing. I think they're often called like the star libraries of Earth, and their senses with their, echolocation and telepathic cod communication and their emotional resonance that they have across the ocean is just magnificent. And diving into those sorts of senses that these beautiful creatures have is a really fascinating project that I would highly recommend that you can learn and explore as well. And I've run out of time. Oh. So if you want to have a look at the activities that I've created, check out the article on bbsradio.com/all-learning-reimagined. So thank you very much for joining me. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.